This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Grief during the holidays, it's a tough topic, but for so many, it's a topic that's on their mind, and we need to talk, because grief doesn't take the holidays off. These occasions, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and even New Year's Eve, can be painful reminders for anyone missing their loved ones. What are some healthy ways to deal with loss on these difficult days? And there's lots of ways for you to join our conversation. We want to hear your stories. The number is 210-614-8980. What are you going through? Talking about it can help. 210-614-8980. Your stories can help other people who are going through similar circumstances. You can also email with your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined by Leslie Wood, Director of Grief Education and Community Response at the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas, and Kathleen Frazier, Bereavement Group Facilitator and author of the book Mourning and Milestones, Honoring Anniversaries, Birthdays, and Special Occasions After a Loved One Dies. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. It's nice to be here.
So, Leslie Wood, so you do grief counseling, you deal with children who have experienced loss, and what brings this to the holidays? What is the holiday about when you're dealing with this?
Well, whenever there's been a death loss in a family, it restructures and kind of unsettles everything. And then you have holidays approach, and that kind of compounds that issue because there's a lot of uncertainty. And even when it comes to adults, they're uncertain how to proceed with regards to how do we do this? How do we help the kids? How do we help everybody go through this? Do we celebrate like we used to? Do we do everything like we normally did in the past? And there's a lot of questions on how do we go forward? And there's a lot of uncertainty. And what we try to do at the center and provide some guidance and support for those families is just to try to help them feel comfortable and offer some useful suggestions for them, because a lot of it goes in line with just normal grieving as well.
So the uncertainty part of it, because during the holidays, we have these rituals that we have followed as a family. We know when the tree comes out and we know where it goes. We know how long it's going to stay up there and who's going to put the star on top and all those things. And suddenly that can be thrown into the uncertainty. We don't even know if we're going to do it anymore, or if we should do it, or we should do it differently, or who's going to do these different chores.
Sure. And what if the person who put that star on the top of the tree isn't there anymore? Who's going to do it? Do we put the tree out or do we not put the tree out? And do we have the Christmas dinner, even though somebody's missing at the table now? What do we do?
And who answers those questions?
Well, we work with the families if they ask those questions. There's a lot of wonderful resources out there. We are part of a group that offers Grief in the Holidays workshops for families around our community as well. There's many of them all over our community that supports these families in answering those questions if they have them, and to help them realize that there is guidance out there, and what they're feeling is appropriate and normal, given what they've experienced and what they're going through.
So Kathleen Frazier, in your book, Mourning and Milestones, do you see people, their level of pain from the loss that really intensifies during these special days?
Yes. And that's why I wrote the book, because when my first husband died, my kids were 8 and 11, and every one of these holidays and anniversaries and special occasions just kind of hit us like a dump truck. And I was pretty inept at how to handle them and how to help the children. So later, when my second husband passed, I knew it was going to be very, very important to be up planning and thinking about how to do the holidays and finding ways to include all of us in that planning. So the book came out of that. It's really, the whole thing is just an example of the struggle I was going through to honor our loss and still find a way to live the life that we had because the holidays come around.
And so, Kathleen, are there wrong answers for dealing with grief?
I haven't found any except to pretend that it's not happening. I think that one harms us. I think if we try really hard to suppress it, that it actually becomes more difficult to deal with. But otherwise, I don't think there's a wrong way to do the holiday.
And so when people we don't want to have a holiday and then not remember the missing person. We want to make sure that their memory is part of our celebration, that the ornaments that they made when they were kids at school, they still go on the tree. We can do certain things. Rituals can include them into the holidays. Kathleen?
Yes. Yes, I think very much so. And I think that it helps a great deal because most people who come to the bereavement groups that I see say, oh, I went to this celebration and no one mentioned my loved one. And then other people will say, well, we didn't know if we were supposed to talk about them. We didn't want to make your grief worse. And so people can become very separated from each other and actually sadder. So what I think helps the most is if you think ahead about what you might need on that holiday and then communicate that to someone so that from the beginning you can make it something that helps. So some of the things that I suggest are quite early in the day, lighting a candle that represents that person for the whole day. And then you have that sense that you're honoring them and acknowledging them. Another real easy one is to do a toast at the beginning of a meal where everyone gets to say the name of the lost loved one. And then you've broken the ice. And once you've broken the ice, the funny stories or the sad stories or the stories about their wisdom have a little room to come out.
Leslie, what I would like you to add to that, if you can.
Well, I really liked what Kathleen said about planning for the day. That is super important, especially when you are talking about having children, because if you can let them know ahead of time kind of what to expect, that goes a long way in alleviating any anxieties they may have. Especially if they're going to other family for the day or it's their first holiday without that loved one. If you can include them in planning or asking for their involvement in, you know, how would you like to remember your loved one in this holiday? What would you like to do? How would you like to include them and celebrate their memories in how we, you know, plan this holiday going forward? That's going to invest them in that holiday planning. That's going to go a long way in helping them. Also giving them permission to experience whatever emotions they may have that day, whether it's sadness or anger, even joy. That's
okay. It'll all be there.
Yes, it will all be there, especially for children. And they need to be given permission to or acknowledgement that they're going to may have those wide range of emotions and that it's okay.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I want to talk about grief guilt when we come back and what that looks like for some folks. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about coping with grief during the holidays, and we'd love to hear from you. Everyone has had a loved one who's passed away. Did you experience the holidays differently after your own loss? How did you cope? Are you still coping? Does it get easier over the years? 210-614-8980. The Source continues. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. During the holiday season, is there someone who you shared previous holidays with and they really made everything so special and now they're no longer here? How do you move forward on these days? How do you continue to have that memory with you, have it for other people in the family, honor their existence and everything they brought to life that made it so wonderful? But they're not here anymore. How do we continue with the holidays? Tough questions, and we ask you to call in with how you're doing with that. The number is 210-614-8980. We have a caller on our voicemail line, and let's hear that.
I wanted to give you a perspective on your show on grief that you may not have considered. My wife of 38 years is currently dying from cancer, the scourge of cancer, which is consuming her body. I just had a couple thoughts about the grieving process of watching your loved one die during the holidays or at any time, and I thought I would share those. First, even though this is the hardest thing I've ever done, and even though I've done some hard things in the past, this has also been an opportunity for us to strengthen the bond that we have, and thanks to the help of an outstanding therapist and friends, I've been very lucky to have that opportunity, and I would encourage anyone in the same position to do that. And then my second comment would be, I have three adult children, and I have found that we all grieve differently and in different ways. At times, that can cause a lot of tension and friction, but in the end, nothing is more important than my wife and my children, and we're all struggling through this together, and we'll all see it to the end together.
A caller, anonymous donor called with that voicemail. A lot there. Leslie Wood, your reaction?
I am so touched by his amazing insight and what he has observed and his acknowledgement in what we tell our families every day, and that everybody grieves differently. You know, just as we are all individuals in our personalities, we tell every child and every teenager and every adult that we interact with that grief is very individual, and you're going to do it in your own time and in your own way. And it's our bodies and our hearts and our minds' way of dealing with a loss that is so very dear and hard to deal with. And that's normal and it's appropriate. And so the fact that he can recognize that, but at the same time, you know, acknowledge that he's grateful and it's a very dear and special, precious time. That is amazing. So he has incredible insight.
Kathleen Frazier. So the caller talks about reaching out and getting help from a therapist and friends, but also about this is something I think people should always be aware of, that everyone is highly stressed. It's really difficult to ask individuals in the family who are going through this to stand down on certain issues, because everyone, sometimes these types of situations don't always bring out the best in each of us. And so everyone is kind of like on edge. But I do want to talk mainly about the part about reaching out and getting help. Can you talk about that, Kathleen?
Yes. I was a person who kind of resisted that until the grief just knocked me flat and I had to reach out for help. And I found when I reached out to family or friends for help, they were really dying to know what it was I needed. And it was a surprise to me how much that helped and how much just letting them know, whether it was I needed a walk or let's write letters to my loved one together and burn them, or just, I can't face cooking today, could you help? All of those things. And certainly getting to talk with a therapist about the pain, because when you speak with a therapist, you don't have to be concerned about their feelings. You're not worried about their grief or if you're going to promote their grief. And they have the knowledge and the help to listen and to help us, you know, find ways that are going to get past. I also found bereavement groups to be helpful. I went to a group for widows and widowers, and just hearing other people experience the same things that I did helped me a lot to know, okay, this is normal. One widow said to me, you're going to feel like you're going crazy for about a year. And that was so reassuring when I did feel like I was going crazy.
Leslie Wood, you have gone through your own grief journey, and you mentioned that to me earlier about that thing that Kathleen brought up, and you're nodding your head. What happened?
I'm like Kathleen. My husband died almost 9 years ago in January. And, you know, Kathleen, I went through that year of just, I felt like I was losing my mind. I was in shock and I was, you know, felt like I was moving underwater. And I would describe it to my family as a nightmare that I just could not wake up from. And I would function for the, you know, just to keep my girls' lives as normal as possible because they were 10, 7, and 2 at the time. So I knew that I had to keep it going for them because that was, as a parent, that's your priority, is to make sure that the children are okay. And being a therapist, I knew about the Children's Bereavement Center, and so I made sure that they were there and participated in groups. I want to touch on two things Kathleen said that just kind of rang true for me. When people would ask me, you know, what do you need or what can we do to help? Or let me, you know, the thing I heard a lot was, what can we do to help? And as an adult going through that at the moment, you don't know what to say because you're so, like, lost, I guess is the best word. And so my best supporter whenever I, because now I get a lot of questions because I'm kind of like, oh, well, Leslie knows what that's like. You ought to ask her. And so I will recommend to friends if they're trying to reach out and help another friend that's going through this or they've lost someone, instead of asking, what can I do to help? Almost not take over, but be more direct. Say, you know what, we're going to come pick up the kids for the afternoon and take them over to our house to play. Or, you know, we're going to come bring dinner to your house tonight. Or let me come and we're going to do the yard for you. Just things that we would think of that we would need done to help us make our lives a little bit easier. Because honestly, in that time period, I had no direction. I had no decision making really true of the minor details of my life. It was just difficult. And then as far as the therapy component, it was just great to have someone to talk to that you could talk to unfiltered and not worry about guarding what I said to make my friends feel worse or feel like that they needed to be doing more or less. I love that we have the bereavement center here just because research shows us that, especially for kids and teenagers, services like this are wonderful because they can go to a place where they're around children just like them and they don't feel very different or different than their peers at school. They don't feel like I'm the only one that has, you know, my dad just died. And they can relax and be themselves with others who are very similar to them and can learn and cope along with them. So
our phone lines are open. If you're going to call in and talk about your grief journey, the number is 210-614-8980. Jan is on the line. And Jan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. And I totally agree with the people who are saying that everyone grieves differently. And I thought my grief was just the aloneness that I felt after my son Wade was killed in a car crash. And finally, someone recommended a support group that I went to, and there I realized that there were people there who understood. They didn't make judgments. They didn't give advice. They didn't try to help. They just understood. And it took years to go through that until finally my grief seemed to change to a point where I could deal with it. So the most important thing that I've learned during the holidays is to take care of yourself. Do what you need to do. You can excuse yourself from parties. You don't need to offer an excuse to say, I'm not going to be able to come this year, maybe next time. One thing that I did when my son Wade was a little boy, he loved Winnie the Pooh. So I put up a Christmas tree just for him with Winnie the Pooh ornaments. And I still do that every year, just to keep his memory alive. And in our family, an extended family, for Thanksgiving, we always leave an empty chair for someone who has died during the past year. And I'd also like to say that the Ecumenical Center and a lot of church groups have wonderful support, just to know that you're not alone in your aloneness.
Jan, thank you so much for the call. Many great actions there, actionable advice that you have there, how people can help move forward. And Kathleen Frazier, can you address that?
Would you address the things that we can do to move forward?
Well, the thing about the Winnie the Pooh tree seems so, there's a lot of energy there.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing. There are, I think there are different ones maybe for Thanksgiving and Christmas, but since we're talking about Christmas, one of the, lovely things I learned about is a family who cuts the boughs off the bottom of the Christmas tree. We have live Christmas trees up here in New York, and they bring them to the cemetery. And so that honors the mom every time. Certainly, some things that I found helpful was that I missed giving a gift to my husband, and I missed getting gifts together with him. We would plan for the kids and for the grandkids, and that's painful, but I started to think about ways that I could give to my community or to the world that honored him and that brought, that kept him into the world. Kind of the idea that if you hold the grief inside, it doesn't heal as much as if you can bring it out into an act of mourning, maybe giving a gift or singing some of his favorite songs. Or one year we tried serving his favorite food, which was herring, and, you know, he was truly the only one who could stand to eat it. So that one didn't work for us.
but doing things like volunteering,
yes,
or contributing into groups that are helping others. And so, Leslie Wood, is that something that you've seen help?
Absolutely. And, in organizing efforts, like buying gifts off of an angel tree in a loved one's name, or, you know, spending time at like the Animal Defense League, and giving back seems to be another wonderful way of channeling some of that grief into something productive for members.
And there's lots of opportunities here locally. We,
yes,
have lots of opportunities. We have the Jimenez Thanksgiving,
yes,
dinner.
Yes, the Thanksgiving dinner, the Feast of Sharing.
The Feast of Sam, yes, shelter, which helps homeless families. People out there, there's a lot of need.
Yes, there is. And I like the idea, too, of making their favorite foods, their favorite pies. We had a family that would come, and they would not only make their loved ones' favorite pies for their family, but then they would make a many, many extra and deliver it to all of their family, their friends of their family, and say, this was his favorite pie, we want to share. And so they would take it to all of their friends, too.
What about a family visit to a cemetery?
That if that is something that the family wishes to do, absolutely. And there's a way that they can do it in a very positive, loving way.
So give me some tips.
As long as it's discussed, they may want to go at a good time of the day, depending on the ages of the children or the teenagers. If there's something special or a tradition that the family likes to do, take pictures. I like the tree idea that Kathleen mentioned, that they take to the gravesite. That's a wonderful idea.
And Kathleen, going to the cemetery, is that something that can bring a family unit into mourning together?
Yes, but they have to talk about it first and plan that that's what they want to,
mm-hmm,
do.
Yes.
And then you have a lot of families, mine included, who scattered the ashes somewhere. And so we have a bench that we donated to a local park that has a little plaque with my husband's name on it. So that's a place that we can go together when we want to remember him. And I know the park doesn't allow this, but each time we go, we secretly bury,
yes,
some little thing under the bench. Like, you know, his old beer mug from his fraternity is smashed up and under there, and a few other items.
And there's also some churches, religious places, that will allow you to buy like a poinsettia or things in memory of a loved one during the holidays. And they'll publish their loved one's name in the program. So that's another way also.
Lots of ways. But the first thing we got to do is talk about it and remember to take care of yourself. This is going to be these are tough times. Nothing is going to make it seem like nothing's wrong. But we can talk about how we can do this in a healthy way. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. More Source after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We are entering the season that can be very difficult for a lot of people. They've experienced the loss of a loved one. Grief does not take the holidays off. In fact, this is when grief doubles down. There's the Christmas music and the decorations, those family rituals. They reinforce sometimes the absence of those special people who were the center of our lives. But we can't fast forward through the holidays. We need to be able to slow down and talk to our other family members, even children, who are counting on having that celebration and still having the holidays even in the midst of our grief, but how can we do that? You can call in with your questions and comments. Number is 210-614-8980. And Dolfo is on the line. Dolfo, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello. How you doing?
All right, sir. Go ahead.
I had a question about my issue is I got divorced like about 8 years ago. And I'm having, like, trouble, like, with the ex letting me see my kids. But on top of that, I've had, like, fatalities in the family. And while these fatalities happened, I remember just thinking just about my kids and not worrying about the fatalities. And around holidays, I have a hard time, like, celebrating them because of my kids and the family. So I was just wondering, like, what kind of does that relate to what the topic is today, or
sure,
what to do about that?
Dolfo, thank you for your call. Leslie Wood?
I'm sorry, Adolfo, I just want to make sure I'm understanding correctly. So you're having difficulties yourself coping with the fatalities, or is it more difficulty coping with having difficulties not being able to visit with your children?
Difficulties not visiting the children, and like the fatalities, just basically like the numbness of not seeing the children has numbed me away from the fatalities.
Right.
Right. So Adolfo, you're having, you're grieving not being able to be with your own children.
Well, and it's multiple losses.
A compound loss.
It's several incidences of loss and grief that have compounded on top of each other.
But he's still grieving. He's still having a loss. He's just not, because he's not being able
right.
to. And a lot of people have losses
right.
that may not, you know, it's not the loss of a loved one, but there are certain things that happen to people all the time. But just, and they still have to go through the grieving
yes,
process.
Yes, there's still grief that needs to occur, whether it's a divorce or a parent gets taken away by incarceration or what have you, or it's you know,
even the loss of a job or
yes,
things like that. Can,
yes.
You think that just devastate your life.
Yes. So do you have any other family support?
Oh, yes, definitely a lot of family support. But I think the thing I hold the highest is just my children.
Sure.
And I just tend to ignore everything else.
Okay. I mean, as I would just, as from my perspective and not knowing just the little that I know that you've shared, I would just recommend as best as you can, reach out and spend as much time with the families that you have, if it's positive, healthy support. And if you need that other support, like someone as far as counseling or therapy support, talk to somebody in that regards. Because what's amazing about therapy is that you can share with them anything you would like, and they may be able to help you find other professional resources in the community to help you with your children and the issue that's going on with your children.
Kathleen Frazier, author of the book Mourning and Milestones, Honoring Anniversaries, Birthdays, and Other Special Occasions After a Loved One Dies. I've heard a thing called grief guilt. I think it's when people, they're in grief, they're mourning the loss, but sometimes they may catch themselves actually enjoying the holidays, and then they feel like a shudder of like, what am I doing? And they're still trying to figure out an equilibrium between grief and life. Is that something that you've come in contact with?
Yes, both in myself and with my children. And what I have been working toward the hardest with loss is the idea of balance, that if we give attention to the grief, if we make a time for it, maybe that means walking in nature or listening to music that sometimes can provoke your feelings, or looking at photographs, or writing a letter to your loved one, but something that engages you with the grief, that can then free you to feel some of the other feelings. And all of those feelings are important to feel. And this is a season where everyone tells you to be joyful, and you may not want to feel joyful, but it is. There are moments that you might not want to miss, and I think the best way to not miss those is to first pay attention to the grief, and maybe let kind of like, you know, those old pressure cookers we used to have where the valve went up and the steam went out. and then the food cooked nicely. I think we can do that for ourselves with grief if we take the time to focus it. We don't need to feel it 100% of the time.
And so, Leslie, what does a person, are they able to give themselves permission to laugh again?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the hardest things to do, because it's hard to let go of it sometimes, especially right after.
Does it feel like a betrayal to the memory?
It can sometimes. And children sometimes really struggle with that, or even teens. They may feel like if they're experiencing joy or they're excited about the holidays especially, they may feel like that they shouldn't be feeling that way. We should just be very sad because we've lost someone dear to us. But they need to be told and reassured that it's okay to feel joy and to be excited about what's going on around them and experience the happiness around the season if they are having that within their lives, because they do, and we need to learn. And the main message for children, too, is to let them know that life is going to, we want to get back to a sense of normalcy or consistency again, that they're not always going to feel this sense of bereavement and this sadness, that things will gradually kind of balance out again, and we'll get to a sense of normalcy.
But say you've gotten to that point of normalcy in your life, to a point, and then the holidays come around, mm-hmm. and then it all comes
yes,
back.
Yes, and we step back, yes.
So, and then that's kind of like why, you know, why these days are so tough.
Sure,
because
sure.
maybe you had some time when you're starting to say, okay, I can do this.
Yes.
And then out, you turn on the radio and here comes a Christmas song, you know, or whatever it is, and
well, and there can also, I'm glad you brought that up, there can also be those grief triggers where even adults, I feel like things are okay, I'm handling this just fine, and then you hear a song that takes you back to a memory with your loved one who's not here anymore, and you're crying in the car and you can't go into your office. Those are going to happen. So we need to just focus on day by day, little steps at a time, making sure we take care of ourselves, taking care of our kids, feeling the feelings, because with kiddos, we also need to make sure that they embrace those emotions as they come and cope with them and externalize them and feel them.
Here's a caller, Tom. And Tom, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Something I've done just myself over the years is I just try to focus on the good things of the time that I had with my mother passed away when I was about 15. And I try to just focus on the time that I had with her rather than looking at the time she'd been gone, you know? And I just find that helps. I know it's not easy to do, but I found that's the way I cope with it.
Tom, thank you for the call.
It's wonderful.
Kathleen Frazier, Tom's point of view. It can be very helpful.
I think it's wonderful to be able to focus on feeling that gratitude. I think I run into people who have lost a spouse or a parent, and they're said, well, you know, just feel grateful for the time that you had. And sometimes it takes a little while to get to that place. Sometimes you're just not ready to feel that gratitude when all that you want is another day or another week or another year. And so I think it's a careful balance, and that gratitude can happen and you can experience it and it will come over time. But I think we should be careful not to feel that we need to rush that.
Right. So Tom's point of view is very healthy, but a person has to get there pretty much on their own. It doesn't do, and correct me if I'm wrong, Leslie, it doesn't do a whole lot of good for someone to come up to someone who is mourning and tell them to focus on one thing or another.
No. I love Tom's perspective. Like Kathleen said, I think it's amazing. But especially for kiddos going through this, it's and a lot of well-intentioned advice given to kids will say, you know, we'll focus on the good to try to help them cope, because when adults see children in grief, we want just to make them feel better and to get them through that point of pain, because that's our natural instinct. But what children need when they're grieving is adults just to be present with them and to help them through that. So while it's well-intentioned, that's not always the most helpful thing for children to hear. They need to be given that permission and someone to listen and to support them with whatever emotions and thoughts they may be having at that moment. And if it's, you know, I really, really miss my mom and I want her here with me. I don't want her to be gone. And I don't want Christmas to come with her not here. We just need to be present with them while they're expressing that and letting them know it's okay to feel that way and that they're not alone in expressing that.
We're talking about Christmas, holidays, all the ones that are coming up on the calendar. A lot of people are kind of, you know, preparing themselves for these days that are coming up because they know that there is going to be an emptiness that will be hovering above their celebration. Coping with grief during the holidays, we'd love to hear how you're doing it. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, coping with grief during the holidays. We've got a question or comment. Number is 210-614-8980. Connie is on the line. Connie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you for having me. As a retired educator and principal, I had children come to me that had lost loved ones, and sometimes it was the mother and father. And when I had that experience when my niece died, her twins were in second grade. They were wonderful in elementary school, but by the time they went to middle school and high school, they were becoming unglued. And they did go to the bereavement center. Their grandparents thought they were okay, but I tried to encourage them, they need to go back. Because grief comes in stages and in waves. And when you don't have a parent there for graduation, for prom, for first love, for all those important things to the youth growing up, and no pictures and everything because their mother died so young, and it's just hard. I would like to thank the Bereavement Center for what they do, but to encourage others to please go back all the time for a self-check for the children.
Connie, thank you for those wise words. Leslie Wood, you're the Director of Grief Education and Community Response at the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas. Can you talk about how people can access those services?
Absolutely. And Connie brought up a really, really important point is that children will re-grieve at every developmental stage that they experience as they continue to mature and grow up. So like she mentioned, as they enter adolescence, as they start driving, as they go to prom, as they go to college and enter early adulthood, they have to reintegrate that death loss into their identity. And so it sounds like that's what she was experiencing with the twins in her life. And so that's pretty common. And what's amazing about the center is even if a family has participated in groups at our center, they can still return. If they still need services, they can come back and re-participate in groups and counseling if they need it. If they need to come to our center for services, they can reach out. Our phone number is area code 210-736-4847. Our website is www.cbcst.org. We have different peer support groups for every type of death loss that we provide for our children and our families, you know, our parents and caregivers as well. But we also do individual and family counseling, and we do grief support camps. In fact, we're finishing a grief support camp that we're having at our center today. For 7 to 11 year olds.
So the question most kids always, you know, I don't want to do anything that's weird. And so it's not weird for kids to come back after they've been gone for a couple of years from the bereavement center.
Not at all. Not at all. We have several that will go, they'll transition out, and then maybe a couple of years go by and they'll experience some problems. They may have some trouble in school. Grades may start to fall, or they're having trouble in their interpersonal relationships or with family. And you know what? We're having trouble with that loss. We may need to go back to the center. I do want to also share, we're part of a group with Porter Loring Mortuaries. They do a grief in the holidays workshop. And it's a workshop that's offered all over our community. I'm fairly certain you can go to the Porter Loring website and they will have a listing of all of these workshops all over town. They're offered at different churches and community centers, and they've already begun, and they're offered through the holidays for families. If you're concerned about how to provide support or how your family is going to get through this difficult time in the holidays, please go to the website and check out some of those workshops, because they're free of charge and it's just something useful to help your family get through the difficult times.
Got an email from Sandra. Thanks for this topic. My husband's brother committed suicide before our children were born, and now they're starting to ask questions about what happened to their uncle. I keep telling them, but I will tell them when they are older. But how do I start this conversation? Kathleen Frazier.
Wow, that's a hard conversation to start. Does she say how old her children are?
No, I'm sorry.
Well, it's hard to know, but the children that I work with here generally know more than the adults think that they know, and they're most comfortable when people are able to tell them what has really happened. So I would say, in the most gentle way possible, to begin to broach the sadness that the uncle must have been feeling and some of the truths about it.
The honesty is the commodity that people crave. And so they'll know if you're not being honest. And let's go to another caller, and this is Audrey. And Audrey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to first say it never gets easy. You learn to deal with it, but I don't care how old you are or how old your parent or anyone is. It's a constant, but you learn to live. But I'm 50. My mom was 81. She just passed away, so I'm coming up on the one-year anniversary. So I went through my year of first. Tomorrow it will be exactly 1 year. So with it happening right around the holidays and, you know, Thanksgiving, and my mom was always big with Thanksgiving and cooked Thanksgiving dinner, so your first reaction is, what am I going to do? How am I going to cook a Thanksgiving dinner without mom here? Mm-hmm. But amazingly, my Thanksgiving dinner was 2 weeks later, but my sister and I did end up having a Thanksgiving dinner, but we spent Thanksgiving Day at the funeral home, getting the burial plans in place. We were fortunate that we had her burial plans. Everything was already in place prior to her death, so we didn't have to incur the high expense of not having pre-planned. But we just did all the formalities and get everything in place. But when she passed away, it was also the day before my 50th birthday. So for me, a lot of emotions are surrounding her death. But at the same time, it's kind of cliche, but we do, her spirit is still alive. So that's what keeps me going, and I think people need to realize that that's what helps you through. It is a body, but it's the spirit that keeps you going and knowing that their memory is still there. So that helps me get through it each day. And my mom was such a sweet, loving person. And, you know, her spirit lives in me. So that helps me to continue with what she did in life. That's what helps me to continue living, to carry on what she would have done.
Audrey, thank you for the call. I think that many people can relate to everything you just said. So many of us have lost our moms. We miss them every day, especially during the holidays. They were frequently the main point. They were the center point of the holidays, and having them gone, you have to figure out new rituals, new ways to move on, but still keeping their memory alive. But Leslie Wood, I mean, people sometimes talk about, you know, going away, going on vacation, going to another place. Well, is that running from the grief? Do you run from grief?
Well, I mean, it's a tough question to answer, because I did it, and I don't know if it was running. I mean, one of the things that the experts say is it's okay to have new traditions, as long as you discuss it as a family and you kind of get everybody's buy-in or discussion and their votes and their input. That first Christmas after my husband died, I could not be here with the traditions and the house and the whole other family and everything. And I took my children and we went skiing on a mountain in the snow, and it was incredibly cathartic for me. And we just were with each other, me and my children. And I think that was amazing for us. But for some people, they may see it as running away. It just, I think it's individual for the family and whatever that family needs at the time. But they also do say it's okay to have new traditions. Now, we haven't gone away since then on Christmas. We've always been home because, especially my oldest, she's a homebody and she likes to have Christmas at her house. So, but it is important to also note that it's okay to have new traditions. You don't have to keep everything as it was before.
One thing about the holidays, you know, with this grieving going on, shouldn't this remind us that every day is precious?
Yes.
And then we are all to come together for these celebrations, and that we should celebrate the presence of everyone in our lives, and that did make it, we're all together. And so, Kathleen Frazier, shouldn't we stop and remember that this is a time to acknowledge our love for everyone in our family, and that we're all together today?
Yes. And it's that love that helps us all through. It's another way that we can love each other is by helping each other through the grief, and by sharing stories with each other, by allowing each other space to grieve if we need to, by coming together for a hug and maybe a little silent hug when we need to. But yes, I think I will have to paraphrase this, but most of the widows and widowers I know say that they have joined a no BS club, meaning that they don't have time for a lot of that anymore. They just have time for the things that are important, and the things that are important are the people who are still here.
That's right.
And the ways that we love them, and the ways that we use our grief as an expression of our love for the person who's gone, so that we can continue on in the ways that maybe that were very important to them.
And these sudden losses should teach us that life is unexpected. We don't know who will be next to go. It's a terrible thing to think about, but we have to at least acknowledge that being together with each other is so important, and to celebrate that day. And Leslie Wood, is that something that you think about?
We do, and we talk about how that time spent together is precious, because with our lifestyles today, it's so rushed as we run around, but we need to focus on supporting each other and sharing those stories.
Leslie Wood is the Director of Grief Education and Community Response at the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas. Kathleen Frazier is the author of the book, Mourning and Milestones, Honoring Anniversaries, Birthdays, and Special Occasions After a Loved One Dies. She's a bereavement group facilitator. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.